The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Hour 2 of the Chuck Oliver Show on a Monday. It's going to be similar to Hour 1 in that we will discuss college football almost exclusively. I appreciate Jim Nagy coming on from the Reese's Senior Bowl. Again, he had about 2 decades, either as a scout, but also NFL front office, et cetera, experience. Now runs the Reese's Senior Bowl, so I appreciate him coming on. We were talking NFL draft and some of how the kids, some of them who were in Mobile back in January, but some of the kids, their prospects for either the first round or day two or where they may get drafted, so that maybe you can change your family tree. And my goodness, that is absolutely a possibility if you get drafted, certainly in the first round, or you're able to get those game checks for any amount of year. It's just that's what the money is, and good for them. So appreciate Jim Nagy coming on about 10 minutes from now. Going to talk to Heath Klein from 107.5 The Game in Columbia, South Carolina. Gamecocks got it added over the weekend. Dan has already brought that up a little bit. And then bottom of the hour, I was mentioning earlier, actually we had Josh Heupel. Had a cut from him talking about his QBs coming out of the spring game. We've talked to Eric Kane from the Sports Animal up in Knoxville several times throughout spring practice. Bring him back for a recap as UT and almost everybody is done. I've told you, you know, Houston's doing that weird practice thing. And, at Iowa, Kirk Ferentz is like, yeah, I'm going to have a 9 a.m. practice on a Saturday. If y'all want to come, y'all can come. So at least Houston's doing theirs on Friday nights. And so they've had some practices in lieu of a game, and we've still got games that's coming up Saturday. And so there's still a little bit more out there, but a lot of the programs that maybe you follow on a daily basis, they have wrapped up spring as Tennessee has. And again, they got some options at quarterback, and it's not for the bad reason that nobody was able to kind of emerge or make plays on his own. It's that, man, maybe you had a few guys that stepped forward and showed their personal 100%. And so in addition to wanting to keep everybody in the room, because Tennessee has had plenty enough transfers, Josh Heupel is hoping to really get some competition and have somebody respond and really put a hammer lock on the job. I thought it was going to be Hendon Hooker, and I thought that'd be by now. So if it truly is the case, and Eric will know, and we'll have him on, but if that's truly the case, then it's a good indication, at least, for Tennessee heading towards the summer 2021 before they reconvene in August. Right now, though, I'm going to get you up to date.
Everything you need to know about college football, every single day. This is CFB 365, presented by Ecoderm. Text Ecoderm to 31996 now for your free sample of Ecoderm Pain Relief Cream and CBD from Frank Thomas. Text ECODERM to 31996 now.
Headline, College Football Playoff Committee considering expansion ideas to as many as 16 teams. It's shock value, in my opinion. We will give you the upper end. Oh, my gosh. You're really going to make Alabama play, and then you'll fill in, I'm not kidding, folks, the third team from the Big 12. Alabama's number one, and they have to play a three-loss Oklahoma State or whoever. It could happen at 16, so we don't want that. So, whoo, okay, how about 6? Or just 8, fine, 8. And there won't be any opposition, and it'll be stacks of money, and it won't help anything, and it won't actually make it more fair, and it won't give teams like Cincinnati or Boise or whoever more of a chance. It will give them less of a chance, but that's not the goal. And so they basically have announced, hey, we're just talking about changes. That means they're going to change. Headline. Wisconsin Badgers reward football coach Paul Christ, 5 other head coaches with extensions. Paul Christ got a contract extension through 2026. Same thing for the men's basketball coach, the women's hockey coach, men's hockey coach, and the swimming and diving coach and the wrestling coach. Each were extended through 2024. So last year, Wisconsin had extended Chris to January 31st, 2025. This just puts another year on the end of that. And final headline, and this is just turning into just more of an unseemly, people involved, the situation, the school, unfortunately. Headline, LSU bans Darius Geis, fires longtime law firm. The more details you find out about what LSU, and I'm talking about like the folks in charge of stuff, the folks who could really do something, the more you find out about how casual they were regarding allegations involving Darius Geis, it's just really seedy. And so now LSU, and by the way, I'm going to tell you, this ain't over. Because what this looks like to me is, well, yeah, Darius is the guilty party. And if this was the step they would have taken like in 2000, I don't know, 14 or 15 or so, whenever it was, that they had an opportunity. Yeah, 15. If this was what they would have taken 5 years ago, hey, Darius, we found out about this. We've investigated. We have seen X, Y, Z. You're out, and we are he's been scrubbed. He's out of the record books. He's banned, can't come back, not part of the program, and there will be no references to Darius Geis. It was like he's part of the Fab Five. Law firm that LSU has used for a century, no longer anymore. So this is just the first of what will be several folks who either have not been either publicly mentioned down this path of they're banned or fired or no longer welcome or scrubbed, or business associations, professional associations that the university has. And here, I don't think that the university, whoever decided these things, they may think this is enough. Oh, no, it's not. It's not. You're going to have to now include more of the adults in the room. Consider yourself up to date. That's just a really awful story, and I hate talking about it. But there are folks in Baton Rouge today who are decision makers who are like, all right, look, Geis, he deserves it. And the law firm, because they were in charge of this and they helped craft the response. And so, yeah, we'll pin it on them too. And believe me, both Darius Geis and the law firm that's been LSU's official litigator, whoever, for, I don't know, 90 years, 100 years. Sure. Great decisions. That is not even close to the end of it. And I can't promise you that folks running the show in Baton Rouge today understand that. So I'll say that as my opinion, that there are folks who think, all right, well, we'll make it go away. We'll take this step. No, going away. This does not end it. This just begins it. So there you go. We're going to take a break, come back, talk with Heath Klein.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
College football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. Appreciate everybody getting in here for 2 hours of college football talk every single day. Been doing this since the beginning of the 14 season, so appreciate y'all making that possible. Man, just keep looking at that LSU stuff, man. And when I say this is just the beginning, there are two folks that have been affected so far. Well, actually, two entities. Darius Geis is one of them in that law firm. And across both of those incidents, because those are like separate things, there's Darius Geis, and he's connected to the Darius Geis thing. And then there's the 100-year law firm, and they're connected to the Les Miles thing. Now, the issue for LSU, more than anything, is there's also like the Drake Davis thing. There's like five or six these person things. And so they've had a few suspensions. They have one employee who can't go to football games this fall. That is the result of his lack of involvement in some of these situations. And so it's all over. There's a lot of different cases. And so far, only the law firm and Darius Geis have really been affected. More promising times, I believe. More encouraging. A little more sunshine in Columbia, South Carolina. They had them a spring game over the weekend of sorts. A spring game of sorts. Want to welcome on a good friend of mine. Afternoon Drive, 107.5 The Game there in Columbia. It is Heath Klein. Heath, how are you today?
Hey, Chuck. How you doing, man?
Doing okay. I want to call it a spring game. It was a sort of a 7-on-7 drill. There were a couple of, like, 12-minute quarters and then some offensive and defensive scripted situations. And by the way, I don't blame Shane Beamer at all. He was missing, like, a third of the team. So what kind of were you able to find out? What could someone find out from Saturday's scrimmage?
There wasn't a ton because, like you say, when you're down 23 players was the official tally we were given. So when you're down that many guys, originally he wanted to do Garnett, Black, legit teams, and he just had to scrub the plan because they're already thin in the secondary to begin with. By the time you start spreading it out, it wasn't going to happen. If you were looking for somebody who's an emerging player, Zaquandre White, the running back's your story. He had several really nice runs for them, and, of course, he's not even a guy that at the moment would have been projected in the top two at the tailback spot. But neither Kevin Harris, last year's 1,000-yard rusher, or Marshawn Lloyd even played. So we all are really still waiting for our first look at Lloyd. You know, you've heard nothing but great things, but other than one healthy practice, he literally has not been visible to anybody since he arrived. So we'll see what that looks like in the fall. But yeah, they've got tailbacks. They've got tight ends. They actually took one of the tight ends, Jaheim Bell, and used him as the second tailback behind Zaquandre White. And he actually ran the ball well some too. And that could be something to keep in mind because Jaheim Bell's a really good athlete. They've got a lot of tight ends. But he might be the one best suited to be more of an H-back and create some wrinkles on some plays. And the other thing, Chuck, was that we just saw different formations. We saw some ideas maybe of how they'll look, everything from five wide at times to, you know, lining up in the eye at times, and, you know, some shotguns, some under centers. So it certainly looks like a more diverse offense than last year's offense based on what we saw. But, of course, what does it look like on a game day? It could be very different.
All right, interesting, because there's a lot of different places to go, but you brought up Jaheim Bell. And if you don't know, folks, tight end, and they gave him the football on Saturday. They let him carry the ball. When I was looking at Beamer's comments afterwards, at first I thought he was kind of making light of it, you know, like he was trying to play it straight. But he's like, hey, our first four opponents, it lets them know what Jaheim Bell may be doing. And then the more I read and the more I was like, no, this is maybe an option here for Jaheim Bell. Talk about the kid as an athlete. He talked about recruiting him at Oklahoma and what he's able to do. And it was the first time he carried the ball, which originally I thought that was just a spring game sort of thing that you have to do sometimes.
Yeah, I would be surprised if Jaheim Bell was regularly getting carries, but if they put him in there as, again, some sort of an H-back type role, or, you know, they lined him up, where the I formation plays, they just lined him up at fullback. So you do have to acknowledge now it's on tape that, hey, this isn't just some plow horse, you know, thick neck roll dude at fullback. This is a 6'2 plus guy who runs routes as a tight end who also can carry the ball. So if you do not account for the fullback, whether that be in pass coverage, whether that be whatever, yeah, you could be set up to get burned there, but he could also just take that quick handoff and plow right through you. So it does provide a wrinkle. And Oklahoma does a lot of stuff with their tight ends, which is what Beamer was coaching. like this, and so it makes sense. But it, yeah, that was probably the single surprising personnel wrinkle in the game. You know, the other thing too, Chuck, is that EJ Jenkins, we got to look at him, the transfer wide receiver from St. Francis. He's listed at 6'7", and he is just a behemoth of a guy. They're still deciding whether he's a tight end or whether he's a receiver. But if he's a tight end, that's one of the positions they actually already had some reasonable depth.
Yeah.
The starter in Muse is back. So if Jenkins is a tight end, then that might free Bell up even more to be more of a backfield wrinkle, depending on how they decide to use him.
Well, let's talk about quarterback then, because I think Shane Beamer was pretty clear about it. Luke Doty is the quarterback. And, sir, on April 24th, that appears to be the case, and I would suspect it's the case come September. How did that unfold?
Yeah, it's really hard to evaluate Doty in this game just because the numbers aren't going to allow anybody. A 5 of 7, 54 yards. They have not – Beamer had complained in practice that they've not been able to consistently go down the field, and he was not able to complete a longer downfield pass really of note in this game either. But having said that, one of the strongest things that Doty does is his legs. He's an excellent athlete. In a spring game, you know, you're not seeing zone read, you're not seeing boots, you're not seeing rollouts, you're not seeing any of that kind of stuff in a spring game situation. So we're not really seeing the full Doty package of what he would be as a quarterback. But you know, look, until he shows in game situations that he can consistently deliver accurate throws, and especially farther down the field, there's going to be that question that's there. But he's a talent. They're excited about him. And the question will be, what does it look like in a game situation? You know, they open with Eastern Illinois. If he's not the starter game one, I'd be shocked. But you also figure in Eastern Illinois there'll be time for a guy like Jason Brown, the other transfer from St. Francis, who did show some good things in this game. He's got the tools, Chuck. There's no question. You watch St. Francis on tape, and now you watch him in this game. Jason Brown can play this position physically in the SEC. Does he have everything you need? That we don't know. We have no idea. Right now he has not even had a full 15 in spring because he missed some practices. Over summer, if he has a good summer, continues to catch up in what's going on with this offense, develops some chemistry with the receivers, yeah, maybe he can make up that gap. I'd still be shocked if Doty wasn't the guy, as long as he makes it through camp healthy, to be the guy to start. But Brown has enough that if Doty falters, there's certainly someone who might be able to chase him down.
Wrapping up with Heath Klein from 107.5 The Game. Heath, last thing, and I mean, I'm assuming you were there. Maybe you asked the question, but someone asked Coach about Luke and his ability to hit something deep, and I will read the quote here. I have no concern with Luke at all. I have no concerns with us being able to hit balls downfield. Luke's hit plenty of deep balls. If that's your story, find another one.
I mean, that's a very public commitment, but at the same time, the reality is that people want to see it happen in a game, and it hasn't happened yet. So until they do, there's going to be some anxiety there. And Beamer had alluded to the lack of explosive plays earlier, so maybe that's him looking to try and reinforce things for his quarterback. But again, you got to also take into account who's missing. And a guy like an Amarian Brown is somebody who might be expected to be someone who could be a deep ball candidate. Didn't get to play in this. Randrikus Davis has been perpetually injured. He was injured again for this, wasn't out there. So, you know, some of why there might not have been as much deep success also goes back to who's available to try and throw to. They have a lot of candidates at receiver, Chuck, but the Kerryon Joyner caught three balls. Right now he's as close as there is to a guess for who the lead receiver is. But whereas these other years, you know, Brian Edwards was the unquestioned number one guy. Last year, Shai Smith's the unquestioned number one guy. It is still very much a grab bag as to who the receivers are going to eventually be that actually are the factors here.
Yeah, Deebo Samuel ain't there right now. No doubt about it. Heath, appreciate it, brother. It's always great stuff, man. Thank you.
Anytime, Chuck.
All right, Heath Klein, Afternoon Drive, 107.5 The Game. And for a program that has had such, I'll say, inconsistent offense production year to year, but for the most part, it hasn't been very explosive. It hasn't been very exciting. They've had lead receivers out there. I mean, Debo's one of them. And as he said, Shy and Brian Edwards, big old Brian Edwards on the other side. In fact, there was crossover with those. But you look right now, and again, it's some good-looking guys out there, big, tall, strong guy, long arm speed, whatever else. But when you're talking about proven production, and I'll say consistent production, and not just Davis with the injuries as well, the other Smith, then there's potential, sure. But at some point, you're looking around, you got fifth and sixth year seniors, and you're like, this really is your final shot at it, son.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
College football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Can y'all remember back World Series 2011, St. Louis and Texas? I think the Rangers had like three or four straight hitters with two outs in the ninth inning where, like, get one more strike and you win the thing. And they didn't. And they had to come back and play a game seven. I was in a hotel room in St. Augustine before Georgia, Florida that year. And I'm staying up wide, and I was like, oh, my gosh, how exciting. Wow, what a great game. Turned the TV off, rolled over. I was asleep in about 30 seconds. You know why? Because I wasn't a Cardinals fan. I wasn't a Rangers fan. I could just watch it and enjoy it. I got to say, folks, the Tennessee spring game the other day, it was a barrel of monkeys. It was as much fun as you're going to see in a spring game, and I'm going to tell you, could have knocked me over with a feather, because I've said it's not just, well, we got a new coaching staff and a new system. I was like, folks, you got everything that every other program has when you hire a new coach, new this. You got pace. I was like, this is not a situation where the quarterbacks are normally going to succeed. Well, the quarterbacks, the running backs, the wide receivers, everybody succeeded. Okay, they could have had Heath Shuler come out of the stands and throw a touchdown pass. It would have worked. Part of it is because the defense was missing about 20 guys. So anyway, against that backdrop, like I said, I don't have to worry about it. My gosh, is it a great offense or how bad's the defense? I don't have to worry. I'm not a Tennessee fan. So I just got to watch and enjoy, and it was kind of fun. I want to welcome on now a guy who covers him every single day, and I'm assuming that he's heard from people with a little more emotional investment than me on his show from the Sports Animal up there in Knoxville. It is Eric Kane. Eric, how are you?
I'm doing well, man. How are you doing?
Doing okay. I guess you were on the line there as we're bringing you on. I'm talking about how it was easy for me to watch because I could just look at the encouraging, promising parts, and I could say, it's just a spring game. I think Tennessee's missing about a half dozen defensive linemen, their best linebacker, et cetera. Had some walk-ons in the secondary, but we'll talk about that later. Talk about the quarterbacks and the way the offense hummed, because I don't care if it was on an empty field. I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was off to a great start. Prior to Saturday, this team has only had 14 practices with this new staff, with this new scheme, both offensively and defensively. And to see that offense run at that fast of a tempo and to be that effective, I mean, we're talking combined 821 yards from the two teams, which it was really just offense versus defense, 39 first downs, 99 plays, a combined 70-some-odd points, 521 yards passing, and they started a running clock in the second quarter, and they trimmed 7 minutes off the third quarter. I mean, they were putting it up, putting it down,
yep.
And it was good to see. I think Harrison Bailey stood out. Of course, he started the last couple of ball games for Tennessee back in 2020 in December, a couple months ago. I think he stood in the pocket. He took what the defense gave him. He took advantage of some miscues by the defense, jumping off sides, threw a touchdown on a free play, a complete bust in the secondary. He put it right on the numbers to Valus Jones Jr. He threw the ball downfield, and that was good to see. Brian Maurer, I thought, was steady. He made some plays with his legs and got out of the pocket and threw a 54-yard strike down the field on the far sideline. That was impressive. Hendon Hooker, probably the least impressive of the three on Saturday, made some things happen with his legs, but did throw a costly interception that was returned for six, and that's something Tennessee fans are trying to riddle themselves of from the prior quarterback that's been here in Knoxville. But nonetheless, it was impressive any way you want to spin it from this offense. Josh Heupel says that it's still not as fast as he wants it to be, and I'm sitting here thinking, how much faster can it get? So it should be interesting come fall.
All right, again, disclaimer, the defense ain't the defense, but talk a little bit more about Harrison Bailey, because based on how he played against what I thought was a real possibility, because I knew somebody was going to leave, and that kid has responded to this point, not only by staying, but he was like, all right, competition, let's go. That's impressive to me, but talk about on-field, what's happened Saturday, a little bit more with him.
Yeah, Harrison Bailey, really, this entire spring, he kind of got off to a slow start, and that's expected. This offense doesn't necessarily cater to him, but I think he proved that he could be fine operating it. He was probably third in the pack there the first week and a half of spring, but he's continually got better and better and better, and I think that's a credit to Joey Halsey and obviously Josh Heupel coaching up the quarterbacks. They're good quarterback instructors, and I think he's getting better and better, and he's benefiting from being under their tutelage. But, you know, he didn't have a hand in his face, credit the offensive line, but really the defense, it was super vanilla. They didn't blitz. They didn't disguise coverages. Not trying to take anything away from Harrison Bailey, because he's still – you know, threw the ball very, very well. Yeah. But I really like what I saw from him on Saturday. And, again, I think it's just the comfort level with him. The more he's comfortable, the more he has confidence, and the better he plays. And he had a whole lot of confidence on Saturday. So he ran with the ones. He ran with the twos. He ran with the threes. He scored against – he threw a touchdown pass against the starting secondary for Tennessee. Again, I say it's the starting secondary because we know the front seven was not starters. But he looked good on Saturday. And I think that – He was kind of a forgotten guy at first, but certainly a guy that's going to be right in the mix come fall.
If we look at receiver, I think you mentioned Velus Jones a little bit, Hyatt. Just go through some of these guys because, I mean, I've got to – even in bad years, I'm used to seeing like Marquez North and Callaway and Palm, like 6'3", 6'4", Biggins on the outside. Talk about what this year's receiver room could look like.
I think this is a room that the coaching staff really didn't have a good handle on coming into spring. Might have been looking the transfer portal a little bit, but a position group like running back that has stepped up, and there's a lot of parity and a lot of depth at that position. And that's going to be key because Josh Heupel, as we saw Saturday, he's going to run four wide. He's going to empty it out and put five wide receivers out there at times. They're going to be going in a hurry up, be rotating guys in and out. So you got Jalen Hyatt, got Velus Jones Jr., feel good about that. Jimmy Callaway is a guy that really didn't get a whole lot of PT as a true freshman in 2020. He has stepped up, and he has had a phenomenal spring. He's probably your three right now. Cedric Tillman, a guy that's been here forever, made a couple of really nice acrobatic catches yesterday, a guy that can – his big body, big tall guy, can be utilized in the red zone very, very well. You got another guy, Jimmy Holiday. He was banged up, didn't play on Saturday, but he runs probably the best routes of them all. Anderson Kobe is a junior college transfer guy that has come on and impressed. Walker Morrell is a true freshman, early enrollee guy that didn't play Saturday, but he's also impressed. And Ramel Keaton's a guy that's been here 2 years, opted out at the end of last year, you know, and decided to come back and play, and he's been making plays this spring. So I think that receiver room has grown so much to where it's probably the strength of the team right now, and obviously those guys are in favor of this offense because they get to go out and make some plays.
I remember seeing Jalen Hurd for the first few times, and just because of habit, I would just yell at – I was like, get behind your pads! I was like, oh, he's 6'4". What's D. Beckwith going to be eventually? Because he's – that doesn't look exactly right at running back.
No, it doesn't. And we've, you know, been asking here in local media, you know, beginning of spring practice, hey, you going to move D. Beckwith to tight end? Hey, you going to move him to wide receiver? Is he going to be a running back? And Josh Heupel wants D. Beckwith to learn one position, get comfortable, and then we'll see what happens from there. And, you know, D. Beckwith is a guy that played a little all over as a true freshman. He's super athletic. He runs low to the ground. At least he did in the open practice that I saw. He did a little on Saturday as well. He's making it awfully hard to try to get him out of the running back room because he's responded so well. The coaching staff can't say enough nice things about him. And I think that he's kind of played himself into a role as probably being the third back in the rotation, but a guy that will get carries on a given Saturday. It looks a little weird. He's 6'5", 230, but he does run low to the ground, and he can be utilized in those short yardage situations, I feel like. So D. Beckwith, I would assume, would start at running back in the fall, but certainly a guy you can put out there in the slot and just throw it up to him, and he'll go up and get it.
If we flip over to defense again quickly, from the line and the linebackers, those two position groups, is there anything to take away from Saturday?
In my opinion, no. You had too many guys that were out. I mean, Byron Young is a mid-year early enrollee. He didn't play. Elijah Simmons didn't play. Greg Emerson didn't play. Aubrey Solomon didn't play. Darrell Middleton didn't play. Of course, you have the two linebackers and Jeremy Banks and Roman Harrison.
Yeah.
Those guys didn't play. Just no pass rush. Made it so easy for the quarterbacks on the other side. The offensive line looked really, really stout. I feel like there's not much to take away from what we saw defensively. It's just a matter of getting guys back and getting guys repped and you know, in sync in this Tim Bakes defense.
Jump back to the secondary, because there were some of the regular studs back there.
Yeah, so you got Tennessee's top six guys were back out there playing, and Tennessee has developed some depth behind those guys this spring, and some true freshmen and some rising sophomores. And, of course, you got Trayvon Flowers, Jalen McCullough, Alante Taylor, Kenneth George Jr., and, of course, Warren Burrell, who had the pick six, the lone highlight for the defense in that game. So I like what Tennessee has in its first five or six. Creating depth, like I said, has been critical. They're going to get some guys to help with that in fall camp. But Tennessee's going to be a five defensive back team, more or less. Tennessee's going to be probably a base 4-2-5 to try to mask some of the linebacker play. And oftentimes they'll go money and they'll put six defensive backs on the field. So a very DB-heavy defense is what I expect for Tim Banks this year. So it's about creating some depth and finding some more players.
You mentioned Alante Taylor. Last thing I want to ask you is, when he was heading up to Knoxville, I got told by a bunch of folks it was basically, you know, a close version of the same thing. It was like, kid's an amazing athlete. They're going to find his perfect spot, and he could be all SEC. All right, so what is he kind of rounding into? What do you think of him as a player now?
I think Alante Taylor is a fine player. He's always going to be remembered for blowing the coverage against BYU 2 years ago and allowing that game-winning touchdown. But
yeah.
He's going to give up a play or two, and you really don't want that from your cornerback, but he will come up and he'll stick you. And nine times out of ten, he's going to do the right thing. That one time out of ten is when you give up a big play. So I think he's solid. I think he's rounding into potentially playing himself into a draftable player. Certainly, I don't think he's an all-SEC type player, but he's been a consistent for Tennessee, and he's gotten better, too. He had to play as a true freshman because Tennessee didn't have anybody. I think over the last couple of years and being, you know, instructed by Jeremy Pruitt, who's a good DB coach, I think he has gotten better.
Yeah, I remember the BYU, literally, I'm staring at the screen thinking, the only thing that can't happen for Tennessee right now, the only way BYU still has a shot, and then I watched it happen. And like I said, we're a pretty good ball player in my estimation. But, yeah, just talk about the athleticism and whether he's a safety or a corner or a wide receiver. And I'm just wondering, you know, because he's one of – there's so many times in college football where a guy's career, it comes and goes, and he never really – like I almost – feel I never see the best of him, like his 100%. And after hearing so much about the athleticism, I'm just kind of wondering about the opinions there in Knoxville. Brother, I appreciate it as always. It's great info, man. Thank you.
Hey, appreciate you. Thank you.
All right, Eric Kane again from Sports Animal.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Now back to the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
I think when everyone tries to make the player comparisons like they do in the media, we're going to Marvin Harrison and we're going to Isaac Bruce. If you got to go back 25 years to find a guy that's as talented as Devontae Smith to make a player comparison, that should tell you how good the player is.
Yeah, Marvin Harrison showed up out of Syracuse, and pretty soon there was conversation about the triplets. Chuck Oliver Show on a Monday. Remember the triplets? I think the originals were Troy, Emmett, and Michael Irvin. But that sort of became, see, in the NBA, you had to have super friends. And you had to have three studs. Or you had to have LeBron pick a franchise and say, and here are the other two guys. And the other two are like, yep, I'm there. So that's what it became. And in the NFL, they did that a little earlier. And it was, that's Jim Nagy, by the way, executive director of the Senior Bowl, talking about Devonta Smith and the fact that he is, we'll say, willowy. He is wiry. And he was coming up with some body comparisons. And Marvin Harrison showed up out of Syracuse. And pretty soon he, Peyton Manning, and Edge. Actually, it was Marshall Faulk first. And Marshall Faulk got traded, and they brought in Edge, and then that's when they put the triplets together. So, and if you want to compare a receiver to Marvin Harrison, and there is a guy like Jim Nagy, he's shining a light on the good part about Devontae, no doubt about that. But Marvin Harrison also was not the biggest guy in the world, and it was he's bigger than Devontae, weighed more. Devontae going 165 pounds right now. But for his day, and again, you're talking about a time where if you were listening to the interview earlier with Jim, I had talked about the style of play that receivers as recently as probably the late 90s, early 90s, that's when things started to change. And with concussions and CTE and targeting and review and then review to include targeting, etc., that the game really changed. And I mentioned a guy like Steve Atwater. And Steve Atwater was how you won football games when he played. He was a safety out of Arkansas, played for Denver. Did he go anywhere else at the end of his career? I don't think he did. He may have. He may have bounced around for another year or two of paychecks, and I wouldn't blame a guy, you know, for that. But his style of play is like Hall of Fame style of play at the level that he played it for Denver. And that's not – I don't know that you – that guy wouldn't last. Actually, let me take that back. Because I'm trying to think, like, if Steve Atwater or, you know, some of the other safeties I was mentioning earlier, if you go way back, like Jack Tatum. But if those are guys who were good enough to play in the league for 10 years or good enough to go to 5 Pro Bowls or good enough to have a discussion about, you know, Hall of Fame voting, which Steve Atwater, that's him. Then they could play in the NFL, but their game would have to change. That's possible to some extent. Or their position would have to change. And see, at that point, you may eliminate an NFL career. For a guy that was just a big, burly, you know, flying upfield, turn your helmet around sort of safety, I don't know, maybe he could play that hybrid position. Maybe he could just flat out be a linebacker. We've talked about examples. A guy like Deion Buchanan came out of Washington State. And he was a safety, and I mean, he was tiny. He's like, he wasn't 6 feet tall, and he might have been 220 pounds. He'd hit you. And so for a couple of years, he ran around for the Arizona Cardinals hitting people, and he did it as a linebacker. Got special approval to wear that number that wasn't, you know, linebacker numbers. But that's what you would do. That's not the game. That's not the middle of the field that Devonta Smith is getting into on Thursday night. That's not what it is. Again, Deion Buchanan, you know what he would have done? 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. He'd have been playing safety for as long as his body held up. And it's different for every guy. Maybe a guy for like Steve Atwater, whatever, 10 years, 12 years. Ronnie Lott. Go back again. You're talking 35 years, but Ronnie Lott's about as good. And he was a corner at first. But that's about as good as it is. And you go out and hit people as long as your body holds up. Well, that's not that game. You wouldn't make it today. You, in fact, your playing style, you know who you would be? Vontaze Burfict. He would have just kind of been one of the guys in the locker room in 1979. I got news for you. who was it? Albert Haynesworth that stepped on, was it Andre Girard's face? Albert Haynesworth stepped on another guy's head. Oh, sorry. Albert Haynes, that would have been just another third down in 1985. That would have been just another third down. Sack the quarterback, brace your right palm on the logo on the side of his helmet as you're lifting your 280 pounds off of planet Earth. Yeah, that was kind of normal. So either your game would have to change, which some people have the capacity for that, or your position would have to change. And again, depending on what your body is, it may or may not hold up. Now, the opposite is true. The opposite end of this as well. There's a guy came out of Florida. This, by the way, I'm going to make this my closing argument. We got to stop. I don't know, man. Good job on the cuts coming back there, especially today. That was a good one from Jim Nagy. So anyway, just over time, when the game changes, then you have a choice, and some guys have the capacity to be able to do that, but others, I'm telling you, it's just not what it is. If you like John Riggins is maybe a Hall of Fame running back, I don't know if he'd make an NFL roster today, because he's a fullback, and that's just not what it is. So anyway, that's my closing argument, brought to you by the law offices of Alexander Chenard and Associates. Wherever you are in the Deep South, could be Tennessee, Georgia, Florida, Alabama, wherever. You need legal expertise. You need Alexander Chenard and Associates. What up, Dan?
You said you mentioned Jack Tatum. I mean, I'm guessing now also, too, that Deacon Jones would not have very
the head slap.
Much. Yeah, yeah. I don't think he'd be sticking around for
yeah,
long
that was
now.
When Deacon was a defensive end, and his move was the ball was snapped, and here comes the side of his palm right on your ear hole. And it was the head slap. And you know what that'll do to an offensive lineman? Give you about a half second where he's like, Dream Street, wait a minute. Okay, I'm back. Yeah. Well, Deacon was past you.
And then you get a little bit of the dee in the ear hole. That's definitely not what you want to have on the field. Interesting flex here in the offseason, I think. And I don't necessarily know if it's intentional, but I appreciate it. And that is Mike Norvell. Recently on Knowles 247's On the Bench podcast, and he was talking about South Georgia and what it means to the program. Quote, South Georgia practically in state for us. We designated three coaches to divide up the south part of Georgia. There's a huge emphasis on the time we're spending on the phone when it comes to developing and connecting with recruits in that area. And if those of you that don't know and haven't necessarily been keeping score, there has been success in the past for Florida State there in South Georgia. And I think that if nothing else, it for him, the flex part of it all is him kind of reminding people, yeah, hey, we've had success here before. And guess what? Now that I'm here, we're going to have success here again. And the other part of it as well is, like I said, intentionally or unintentionally, that's now kind of throwing a shot across the bow at Atlanta and in Athens and telling them, yeah, hey, guess what? When you show up to Moultrie or you show up to Bainbridge or to Albany, which, by the way, it is pronounced Albany for those of you that don't know, in South Georgia, or Valdosta, you're going to see the Florida State Garnet Gold Spear there. We will be there, and we will probably sign a couple of these guys out of the state that you were gunning for and trying to go for as well.
Yeah, you get into the nether reaches of 75 South, and maybe it's Valdosta or Moultrie, Quitman, or Albany, then it's interesting that you'd try to make that up for grabs, or you would declare that that's up for grabs if you're another program, especially with the recruiting resume Kirby's putting up in. You know, in-state, out-of-state, Arizona, Washington, D.C., doesn't really seem to matter. David, outstanding job. Dan, same thing. Everybody listening, I think you listened great today. Come back in 22 hours, and we'll talk more college football. I promise you. That's tomorrow on The Chuck Oliver Show.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey, sandwich lovers. Today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open. Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.